cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Get a load of.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Well, I tell you what, the seminar is in progress, and we're waiting for the man himself of the hour to make his way into the studio, and I'm quite sure he is coming. So again, we just thank and praise God for you, you, and you. Amen. Pastor Arthur LaValle, amen, is going to help you to destroy that ignorance. And that's what it's all about, because when you know how to effectively operate in the kingdom of God and operate in those benefits that God has given you, then, my brothers and sisters, listen, then you can't be hoodwinked. You can't be bamboozled. And we just thank and praise God for the last year or two. He's been sharing a prominent word with helping God's people to operate and not just come into the kingdom, but operate in the kingdom, taking your rightful place as sons and daughters, as kings and priests in the kingdom. Amen. That's why he calls himself King Arthur. God says, King Arthur. He said, I'm not a pastor. I'm a king. So, amen. I love that. Amen. Because you know what? This is the way that we get. Listen, that's the way that you have to take authority over the enemy. Amen. Amen. That's right. Those certain princes that are out there in the elements that have been given territorial rights, they got to represent. They got to bow down to the king. Amen. You got to remember, the prince of Persia could do what he wanted to do because Jesus Christ hadn't yet made his ascension here. But when he came, he said, all power is given unto me. So we thank and praise God. King Arthur's in the house. Amen. And right now, without any further preliminary, we're going to turn it over to him, King Arthur LaValle, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. It endures forever, Father. What a mighty God you are. How great is our God. How great is our God. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise, Father. We enter your gates with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. And Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your awesome God and your great and your mighty. And there's none like you, Father, in all the earth, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just open up this broadcast, Father, with praise and adoration, my Father. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. For it endures forever, my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Father, for your grace and your mercy, Father. foot endures forever, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. And we give you praise, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. What an honor. What a privilege it is to come into your homes and your automobiles once again through this radio broadcast and share with you all the kingdom ministry of God. And, you know, I say this, and I say this without reservation. It's the greatest story that has ever been told. Hallelujah. It's his story. And it's the history not of man, but the history of man is included in it. It's his story. What do you mean, Arthur, his story? God's story. Our Father's story. We have a lot of stories of mankind and a lot of things in the history of mankind. But there's another story that's greater than all the stories of man and all the history of man. And that's the history of the Most High God. That's his story. Whose story? God's story. What God is doing. That's what your Bible is all about. History. Not just the history of man, but the history of God. And boy, that's the greatest story. What story? His story. That's the greatest story ever told. What story is that, Arthur? God's story. And God's story about man. Not man's story about man. God's story about man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's an awesome. In fact, it's the greatest story, like I told you, that's ever been told. It's the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. Hallelujah. What message is that, boy? That's the message, man, not of the prophets. Thank God for those messages. Those are great messages, and great, good messages. Thank God for the message of Jeremiah. The message of Isaiah, the message of Daniel, the message of Moses, the message about Abraham, the message about all the Old Testament characters. But boy, that's another messenger, the greatest of them all. And that's Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, when Jesus was baptized, you know, and when he went on the mountain of transfiguration also, you know, and the spirit man came down and the people heard a great voice. And they said this, a voice from heaven was God. And this is what he said. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, there are a lot of stories that have been told of what Isaiah them said and what Jeremiah them said and the Old Testament characters and everything else. But boy, God spoke on this one. He said, this is my beloved son, not my servant. He serves, but he's my son. Hear him. Another place in the Bible, in Matthew, Jesus making this statement. He said, you have heard that it has been said. And he started quoting Old Testament writings. And then he said this, but I say unto you. Then he started quoting, boy, the original word. Hallelujah. And another place in the Bible, in Hebrew, it said this, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets. When? In times past. God spoke to us through the prophet. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us himself through his son. Hallelujah. What are you doing? He's speaking to us himself through his son. Who? The Christ. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what Jesus is speaking is the original, is the word of life. There's a law in God's kingdom called the law of life. And that law of life is what God said, and what God said from the beginning. Not just in the beginning, but what God said from the beginning. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And the message of all messages, listen to me carefully, the message of all messages, the sermons of all sermons, the greatest of them all is the message that Jesus Christ came to bring to humanity. Listen, the message that Jesus Christ came to bring to humanity is not about him. He didn't come to bring to humanity the good message and the good news about him.
He brought them the good news and the message, boy, the message that he came to bring to humanity. He didn't come, man, preaching about him. He didn't come preaching about the things that he did. You know what message he came preaching? He came preaching the message about you. He came telling a story about you. God's original intent about you. God's original purpose for creating you. He come to bring to us, like I said earlier, the greatest story ever been told. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll get preoccupied with ministering or administering the good news about Jesus. And what's the good news about Jesus? About all the things that he did. About all everything that he did. Everything that's concerning him. That's the gospel of Jesus. That's the good news about Jesus. But if you're not careful, we'll get preoccupied with that at the expense of forfeiting a greater news, a greater message, a greater gospel. And what's that, Arthur? It's not the good news about Jesus, how he opened blind eyes, how he unstopped death ears, how he cast out devils, how he raised the dead, how he had power over all the powers of the enemy and all the powers of the devil. It's not only that. Boy, he come preaching, boy, good news about you. Know what he preached when he did all those things? And when he was doing all those things, he wasn't preaching, man, hey, listen, just check me out. This is me. I'm Jesus. I'm bad to the bone. No, know what he was saying? He was saying, you can do this too. As I am, so are you. The works that I do, you can do also. In fact, you know, you think the works that I'm doing is something. The works that you're going to do is greater. Right now, the devil got just one to contend with. He just got me to worry about. But boy, for you, in just a little while, you're going to have a whole bunch of means to worry about. You're going to have a whole bunch of y'all to worry about. Because like I said, as the Father sent me, and Jesus said the same thing I'm going to do with y'all. Same power that I have on the inside of me to do the works that I do, same power I'm going to send back to y'all. As I am, so are you. As the Father sent me, I say it again, so will I send you. What the Father sent him to do, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men and teach them the history of God, the story of God concerning mankind. Don't just tell them the story of God. Tell them the story of God concerning mankind, God's original intent, God's original plan, God's original purpose, God's desire. What? For all our lives. That's his original intent. And this is what he wants more than anything in all the earth. And that's for you to come to the knowledge of that. That's the greatest message ever been told. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about joining church, shaking a preacher's hand. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about Buddhism. I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about none of those things. All that falls under the category of religion. What I'm talking about, boy, is the love of God for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I don't care who you are. I don't care what denomination you might fall upon. I don't care what religious order you might, man, be following. All of that don't matter. You know, the story that Jesus Christ come to bring and come to tell you us about is not about religion. It's going to tell you about who you really are, what you really have, what you can really do, where you really come from. What's really available to you? What's available to us, Arthur? All of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this. Not some, not a little bit. All of the kingdom of heaven. Think for a moment. The kingdom of heaven. All of the territory of heaven and everything that's going on in heaven. All that heaven consists of. All that heaven is all about, the whole totality of heaven, everything that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, their greatest desire, that boy, when their life is through here on earth, that they end up in that place right there. Know what Jesus Christ come to this earth, boy, to proclaim and to get out to mankind and to you and me? Yeah, that place that every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, man, greatest desire is to get there and spend eternity there. He come, boy, and said this, that place is available to you right now. I come to bring that place. I come to bring that to you. I come to bring the kingdom of heaven to you. I didn't come to bring you to heaven. I come to bring heaven to you. That's why I say, boy, the devil's most greatest tactic against us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. Listen. Oh, Lord. Well, we have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil. And the last thing he wants you to know is who you really are, where you really come from, why you're really here, what you really can do, and where you're going to end up at. He don't ever want you to find the answer to those age-old questions. Who are you? Where you come from? Why are you here? What all can you do? And where you going to end up at? He don't ever want you to know that. Well, that's what Jesus Christ comes proclaiming to every woman and every boy and every man. What? Who you really are. Who we said you are on this radio? You're more than just a Christian. You're more than just a mere man or a mere woman. You're God's offspring. You're the child of the Most High God. Yeah, we living and dying like mere men and mere women when all the time, boy, we are the children of God and the sons of God. What's children? That's little bitty small children like we know them. You know, toddlers. And then you got the sons of God. Who are those? Those are the mature. Those who have grown up to maturity. That have knowledge and understanding of his story. Whose story? God's story. Who know the word. Who know some of the word. Who have grown up a little bit. Who have a little bit of faith. Who have developed that and grown in the knowledge and wisdom of God. Who are those? Those are the ones who are growing in grace, the sons of God. Unfortunately, many of us live and die and never become sons of God. Just a little bit of children. Children of God. But never grow in the knowledge of your relationship, who you really are, who Jesus really is, why he really came to this earth. Never come into the understanding of that. And you know why? Because for centuries, the gospel that Jesus Christ come proclaiming to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl has been hidden in the graveyard of religion. Traditions of men and religion has taken the place of what Jesus Christ come to this earth preaching. And as a result of that, boy, what we have done, especially in Christianity, we've preached the good news about Jesus. And never preached the good news that he preached. What's the good news about Jesus? All the things, all the good things about him. That's good news. If we preach that, man, for since he's been gone, I'll say for the last 1,800 years, and the message that he preached has been lost in that graveyard of religion, of man's attempt to find God, to seek God, to search out God. And as a result of it, we forfeited the message that he preached. I guarantee you, especially those of you out there who are leaders in the Christian church, I challenge you. I challenge you to first and foremost ask God. Ask your Father in heaven to show you first things first, to show you his number one priority. In fact, you've been praying it all our life, but perhaps you've not understood it. Here's the first request. The first request that all of us should go to God and ask. And that first request is this. Lord, yes, this is a request now. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. In our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And give us on a daily basis everything that we have need of to help you accomplish that. Let me say it in simple language, you know, and where we miss it at. We go to God and tell God what we want him to do for us. And that's not bad. That's a good thing. But I'm telling you something that's greater than that. When you, instead of you going to God first and foremost and telling God what we want him to do for us and what we need him to do for us and everything else, it's to go to God and ask God, God, what can I do for you? How can I assist you? How can I help you? What you need me to do for you, Father? That should be, that's your priority. The reason why, boy, we're living like mere men and mere women and so far below our rights and privileges, it's because we've been preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. What's the means? That's all the means in which God used and God did from Genesis chapter 3 in your Bible all the way to Revelation, man, chapter 21. All those writings, all those stories, all those things that God did, all those things that you see and you preaching there and getting messages from in there, all those was means to one end. What's the end, Arthur, to get you to God's purpose and plan and destiny for your life? What's that, Arthur? That God's kingdom come in your life. That the kingdom of heaven, man, be manifested in your life. When, Arthur? Starting right now. Do you think it's in the sweet by and by? Listen, most believers think that, you know, they're going to live their life here on earth, and when it's all said and done, boy, their greatest desire and hope is that, boy, they make it to heaven. And that when the life here is over with on this earth, that boy, God tell them, come on into the kingdom of heaven. And they think they're going to, you know, their destination is to spend eternity in heaven with God. That's why I say Jesus said, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they don't know. They don't know what? That's not God's plan for your life. That's not God's original intent for your life. That's not God's desire for your life. That's not where you're going to spend eternity at, in heaven, man, with God. That's not what the Bible is all about. That's not what Jesus is all about. That's not what your father is all about. That's not what his story about your life is all about. His story about your life, like I told you, first things first, priority first, what? Father, hallowed be your name. You're an awesome God. You're a great God. You're worthy of all our praises. All the things that we be saying. Father, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you. Now, all that's great and everything else. That's hallowed be your name. Then you get into the request. What's the request? Father, let your kingdom come and your will be done. In earth? Where, Arthur? In earth? Where? In earth. Just like it is in heaven. Let what happen, Lord, let your kingdom, let your king's dominion, let your territory, kingdom, domain of a king, territory of a king, governing influence of a king over his territory, let your governing influence of your territory, heaven, let that governing influence come to this earth. Why? Because when that governing influence comes back to this earth, not our governing influence, not our kingdom, not our will, not our desire, not all the plans that are in our heart, but Lord, let your governing rule come. Let your governing reign come. Let your governing influence. What governing influence? The governing influence of heaven. Come where? To earth. For what? So that it might be in our life here on earth just like it is in heaven. And give us every day our daily bread. Give us every day everything that we have need of to help you, Father, accomplish that. But your will and your plan and your purpose for our lives, let that come. Let that be, Father. And Jesus said this here, and if you seek that first, that's why I say first things first. If you seek that first, if you go after that first, see, if we're not careful, we go after sermons. And most men study the Bible to get a sermon out of it and get it all for your Sunday service and your lecture. No, that's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. But boy, listen, if you ain't following the instruction that he told you to follow, then even though you're doing good things, again, that's the devil's most successful tactic against us, to preoccupy us with good things. What? Trying to be a good Christian. Trying to be a good person. Trying to stop sinning and trying to live holy and trying to live righteous and trying to live, man, you know, like Moses' commandments told us to live. Those are good things. But boy, if you try to live, man, like God said, thank God for what Moses said for God. But boy, if you try to live, boy, like God said about you, God gave you some laws too that supersedes the laws of Moses. God gave you laws like this: the just shall live by faith. Who is the just? That's all of you who, men, are justified by the grace of God, who are justified by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Those of you who are cleared of all guilt, those of you who are declared righteousness because of what our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus has done for us, those of you who are saved. And in reality, that's all of us. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Listen, God has already provided salvation for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. What you saying, Arthur? Everybody saved. That don't mean everybody going to go to heaven and spend eternity with God. You got to receive that. You got to take that and place that in your possession. You got to come to the knowledge of that. You got to stop trying to get what you already have. That's why we're missing that. Most folks, man, hoping and trying to get saved. Well, you need to stop trying to get saved, man, and just start being saved. Why? Because God had already saved you. Jesus Christ had already hung, bled, and died for a remission of all your sins so that you might have a way back to the tree of life. Trying to get what you already have. That's what we're missing there. Trying to get, man, a peace that passes all understanding. When the Bible say, boy, as we receive the righteousness of God, we shall reign in life. And through this righteousness, we have peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Listen, if you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are the righteousness of God, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are his prized possession, that you are his greatest treasure, that you are the son and daughter of the Most High God, that you already saved, that you already healed, that you already provided for, that deliverance, man, and everything that we might need deliverance from has already been provided for us already. All we have to do is just walk into it. Just come on into it and then learn of it. The devil has deceived us, man, got us coming on into the church and shaking the preacher's hand, the right hand of fellowship, and writing our names on the church roll, you know, and becoming a member of the church. And I know a bad thing, that's a good thing, as long as you don't become a citizen of God's kingdom. As long as you don't become more, not just a member of a church, I say it again, but a citizen of the kingdom. That you not just be, man, a servant of the Lord, but you take your rightful place. You become, boy, a son or a daughter of the Lord. Let me ask you something. Who has more honor in the house? The maid or the butler or the son and the daughter? You're living in a big mansion, and you're wealthy, and your family got servants, maids and butlers and all those things like that. Who has the greatest honor in the house? Who has more authority in the house? The maid and the butler or the son and the daughter? Who the inheritance go to rightfully in the right way? The maid or the butler, oh, they might get a little change. They might get a little something, but the buck of the inheritance go to the son and the daughter. Here's the last question. Which one would you rather be in God's kingdom? The servant of the Lord or the son or the daughter of the Lord? What you want to be in his kingdom? The butler or the maid? Let me tell you something about being a butler and a maid in God's kingdom. Ain't no bad thing. The Bible say, boy, in Solomon's kingdom, the servants was drinking out of glass gold goblins and gold plates. The standard man of the servants, man, in Solomon's kingdom, man, was high, raised up above, man. So there ain't no bad thing being a servant of the Lord. But boy, that's something greater than that. And that's being a son and a daughter of the Most High God that serves. Not a servant, a server. You might serve the Lord. You might be like when the Bible says, though that they that wait upon the Lord, they ain't just talking about sitting down and waiting upon the Lord to move. That word is just like a waiter in a restaurant. When a waiter come to you, what he say? How can I help you? What can I get for you? What can I do for you? What you want on your order? I'm here to serve you. I'm here to wait on you. Same way you have to go to God to serve him, to wait on him. Not just sit back and waiting on him to do something, but to go to him and find out, boy, what he wants you to do for him, what he wants you to get for him, what he wants you to be for him. Boy, he wants you to be, man, his son and his daughter. He wants you to be his ambassadors. Listen, being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher, and all of the ties that we fall up under, reverend, bishop, popes, whatever. Listen, all that's going to pass away. One day there ain't going to be no more pastors. And one day there ain't going to be no more need for bishops and popes and evangelists and prophets and all that. One day there ain't going to be no more need for all of that. One day the last song going to be sung and the last sermon going to be proclaimed. The last soul going to be saved. And boy, then the end going to come and there ain't going to be no more need of that. But you're going to always be a son of God. You're going to always be a representative of God and of his kingdom. You're going to always be an ambassador. So all those other titles, they are good and everything else, but boy, there are some greater titles that you're leaving, man, unclaimed. That's why when bishops say, come on here and say, King Arthur, man, listen, boy, that's a greater title than being an apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher. That's greater than all of that. One day, like I told you, one day ain't gonna be no more apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all the ties that we fall up on. But you're gonna always be a king forever. You're gonna always be a queen if you're in a female body forever. You're gonna always be a ruler. You're gonna always be an ambassador, a representative man of God's kingdom. Those are eternal titles. And the devil don't mind you getting preoccupied with the means. All those titles are means to get us to those eternal titles. What? Sons of God instead of servants of the Lord. Kings and queens instead of men, just members of a church. Citizens of God's kingdom with rights and privileges instead of just being members of a church. Listen, members ain't got no rights. But citizens have rights that members don't have. Listen, you can be from a whole nother country that don't have no legal citizenship here, and you can be a member of the church, and you can grow, and you can get out of the biggest church and have and grow in numbers and everything else, but you don't have no rights. You can't go vote. You can't apply for all the benefits that the U.S. government, man, has for its citizens. Well, because those are only for citizens. Now, you can get some rights, but not like the citizens. Well, I tell you, it's a greater thing than just operating in our religious rituals and garments and all the things that we operate in through religion. That's the devil's most successful tactic against all of us as believers, is to keep us preoccupied and keep us in religion at the expense of us never coming into a relationship. What's a religion? Religion is man's attempt to appease God. Religion is all the thing that we do to get saved. Religion is all the thing that we do to get God's approval upon our lives. Religion is all the thing that we are doing trying to appease a deity in order, the thing that we do to get to heaven. That's religion. When true religion, man, is not the thing that we do. That's something far greater than that. What's that, Arthur? That's a relationship. What's the relationship? It's not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. Like I told you, he's already provided salvation for the whole human race. He's already provided healing for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. He's already provided deliverance. He's already provided provisions for all of us. Well, Arthur, how come we're not living that way? Several reasons. First and foremost, you don't know that because you've been caught up in religion and steeped in religion. And proclaim to you religion in hope that, boy, you try to live, man, a holy life so that you can get to heaven. Well, when Jesus Christ come to restore back a relationship. Listen, what Adam and Eve had in the garden, they wouldn't have in church like we know it. You think they was meeting in the building, man, on the corner of the building, man, with a steeple on it, and with a preacher in church and congregation and singing songs and worship service and all that, like what we're doing here today. You think that was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 when God was walking and talking with mankind, with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? They was having church, but not like you know it. Man, they were learning how to rule and reign in life. They had a relationship with God. And that relationship that they had with God, that's a personal relationship. That's one-on-one. Where they was growing and becoming, boy, who they already are. Who? Already, man, the children of the Most High God. Already the offspring of the Most High God. Already, man, the... Already. Here's the twist. Man, we trying to get what we already have instead of just having what's already ours. And learning to have. You know what God said? God said, my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What he said? He said, my people. Not just anybody. He said, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. They don't know what's really going on. They don't. All they know is religion, but they don't know what's really going on. They don't know what my plan and my purpose is for their life. They don't know who Jesus really is and why he came and what he came to do and the things that he did. They believe in him, but they don't know what to believe in him. When I say destroyed, I don't mean that they're going to go to hell. I mean they're living far below our rights and privileges and living like mere men and mere women. When all the time, who I tell you, we the sons and daughters of the Most High God, with all power, with all dominion, with all might, that can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's the head, not the tail. That's above and not beneath. That has power, listen, even over mankind's greatest enemy. What's that? Death. Your greatest enemy, death. You, if you knew that you got power, that you ain't never going to die, you got everlasting life. One day it's going to be a transition. It ain't going to be a termination of your life. It's going to be a transition of your life. You're going to move from a shack to a mansion. You're going to move from a corruptible body into an incorruptible body. You're going to move from a mortal body to an immortal body. You're going to move from a body that get old and decayed and sick and everything else to a body that never get all that. You're never going to die. You're just going to move out of old, from one house to another house. Hallelujah. Boy, if you knew that, you wouldn't worry about death. You wouldn't even worry about your loved ones who are going on. You'd be concerned about them, and you'd miss them. And yes, there's going to be some sorrow and some grief in our life because we can't handle them or touch them or see them or feel them no more. But, boy, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, boy, that they are in eternity with God, then, man, you'd be able to handle it a whole lot better than you not knowing that. You'd be able to rejoice or come to a place where you'll rejoice when your loved ones, man, leave out these old mortal bodies and go into the presence of the Lord. You rejoice at a funeral instead of, boy, just mourning and sorrowful all the time. Yes, you'll be sorrowful and you'll miss them and you won't be able to see them, but, boy, you'll have something to rejoice about. What? You'll know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Ain't this strange? Everybody want to go to heaven. Every believer. All of us want to go to heaven, but nobody don't want to die. When flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of heaven, you can't get into heaven, man, in these bodies that we live in here now. They are corrupt. But your spirit can. I say it again. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody don't want to die physically. But that's the doorway there. That's the only way you can get there. What, man? To shed these old shacks that we're living in, these old bodies that we're living in, to leave them and go into your mansion that's prepared for you, that Jesus went to prepare for you, what? An eternal house to live in, an eternal body to live in. I can tell you, man, there's a lot of things that we don't know because we've been too caught up in religion instead of coming to the knowledge of the truth in relationship. And in reading those gospels, most ministers read, like I say, they read the Bible just to get a sermon out of it. But, boy, that's life in the Word of God. And you read those, man, the Bible, not to get a sermon out of it. Yes, you can get a sermon out of it and knowledge and understanding how to rightly divide the Word of God. But the greater purpose, man, is for you to get the life that's in the Word out of the Bible into you. And when you get the life that's in the Word out of the Bible, off the pages, out the chapters, and out the verses, into you and into your heart, then the works that Jesus did, he said, we'll be able to do also. Listen, Paul prayed a prayer, and Paul prayed this prayer. He said, I pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Because in that you'll know what is the hope of your calling. You'll know you come to the knowledge of who you really are, where you really come from, why you're really here, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up at. Listen, you know where you're going to end up at? You're going to end up at in heaven on earth. That's your destination. When it's all said and done, boy, you're going to go up to heaven, but boy, after 1,000 years or however, man, you're coming back to it. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, a new air, a new atmosphere that we live in on our earth here, that, and a new earth. And when he do that, then, boy, listen, the sons and daughters of the Most High God who went up to heaven, they're coming back. Coming back where, Arthur? To earth. To a new heaven and a new earth, a new atmosphere. It ain't going to be the global warming and tornadoes and hurricanes. All that ain't going to be like that. The atmosphere ain't going to be like that. The air ain't going to be like that. And it's going to be on earth just as it is in heaven. Why? Because, boy, that's what God's doing. That's his story. That's what he all about. His greatest desire, we say it many, many times on this broadcast, boy, his greatest desire and his purpose and intent is to make earth a colony of heaven. And the way he's going to do that is not through Christians and not just through men, religious orders and organizations and all that. He's going to do that through his sons and daughters, his offspring. They're going to get the mind of Christ. And if they get the mind of Christ, then, man, listen, they're going to be just like Christ. And the work that they do, they're going to do just like he did, we're going to do too. Listen, when Jesus began his ministry up on this earth, here's his message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is what he preached. He didn't preach about himself. He wouldn't hear man telling about himself and preaching all the good news about who he is and where he come from and all of that. It's contained in it, but that wasn't his message. His message was to come in and reveal to you who you really are. Who I really am. Why are we really here? What we really have. What we really can do. And when it's all said and done, where we going to end up at? Boy, you knew those things right there, boy. Your whole life will change. You take on a whole different attitude toward life, period. Listen, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this is what he preached. You know, you've been hearing me say this for 2 years on this radio broadcast, that God's original intent was to establish heaven on earth, to extend, boy, his governing authority, his governing rule, his governing influence, of heaven to earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that earth might be a colony of heaven. And how you going to do that through? He's going to do that through his children. And in his children, he's going to have some called out ones from among his children. And they're going to be called, what the Greek word for it is, ekklesia or ecclesia. That word is church, where we translate into our English. And that church that it's talking about there is not a religious organization. It's a governing authority. It's a governing authority that's in the lives of people with the ability to influence that territory with that governing authority. For what purpose, man? So that they can establish that governing authority. What governing authority are you talking about, Arthur? The governing authority of heaven. So they might establish that governing authority of heaven, that governing rule of heaven, all that heaven consists of, that they might establish that, set that up, and establish that in the territory that they're in their land. In their house, in their home, in their neighborhood, in their community, in their town, in their cities, in their states, in their countries, on our earth. The heavens belong to God, the earth he gave to us. Do what, Arthur? To establish heaven on earth. You're running the race, but man, you're running, man, without knowing the destination. You're running the race, man, trying to get to heaven. When the race you ought to be running, man, is to get heaven, man, to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. To get heaven back to us. Listen, God set up heaven on earth. in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I've been telling you that for over 2 years. That God set up heaven on earth. And when he set up heaven on earth, man, isn't he placed mankind in that atmosphere, in that environment, in that governing rule, in that governing authority. Where? On earth. You didn't read it in your Bible. You know of it as the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that's where the devil was at. He was in Eden in heaven. The atmosphere and the presence, the literal presence of God right there, the one that's in heaven. What is Eden, man? Eden is the right there, the surrounding of God, in the very room with God, in the very place with God, in that atmosphere. Not among him, not man around him, not he in the living room and you way back out in the yard. No, you and him in the same room, in the same place, sitting at the same table, right there among each other, close to one another, right there in his presence. And that environment and atmosphere that comes from there, that's Eden. Listen, boy, in the presence of the Lord, you can do all things. Let me say it another way. If you knew that you knew that you knew that you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is with you and that he ain't never going to leave you, boy, you'll stick your chest out, you'll hold your head up high, you'll face every adversity, man, and you'll know that, boy, that you got a victory, man, and that you got a hope and that you got a chance, you won't worry about nothing. You'll know. Know what, Arthur? That, boy, I'm talking about that the Most High God be for you, then who can be against you? That'd be more than the whole world against you. If the whole world was against you and God was for you, Lord, you wouldn't worry about nothing. And boy, here's the good news. Here's the gospel that Jesus Christ come preaching. He is with you. And he ain't never going to leave you. And he ain't never going to forsake you. Why are we not partaking of all that, Arthur? Because, boy, you have a lack of knowledge. Most believers don't know about the kingdom. They don't know the gospel of the kingdom. They don't know the gospel about the kingdom. They know the gospel about Jesus and the good news about Jesus and how he opened blind eyes and how he unstopped death ears and how he hung, bled, and died and how God raised him from the dead and how he's a mighty man and a mighty son of God and how he's, man, worthy of all our praise and all about him, but you don't know nothing about you. When as he is, so are we. We just like him. But if you don't know that, man, you'll be living like a mere man and a mere woman, man. Now, I don't say you ain't going to go to heaven, but you'll be like the children of Israel, man, the ones that came out of Egypt. What happened to them? They were saved. They weren't in Egypt no more, and they weren't under the governing influence of Pharaoh no more either. Listen, Egypt was a type of the world. Pharaoh was a type of the devil. And just like, man, the children of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh and Egypt, same way you and I was in bondage, man, to the devil and this world system that we live in. But, boy, just like God sent Moses and delivered them people out of there, same thing God sent Jesus and delivered us from the governing influence of Satan and power of our life and from this world system. But you know where the first place we're going to go at, too? Well, you got to go into the wilderness just like the children of Israel did before you get to your promised land that he had for you. Why y'all do that, Arthur? Because you can't go in the promised land with Egypt mentality, with world mentality. That's why the first thing Jesus said when he begun his ministry was repent. Why? Because, boy, you finna come into a whole nother arrangement, a whole nother pattern of operation. That's more, I'm talking about, totally opposite from the way you've been born, trained, conditioned, grew up to live and think like. And in order for you to partake of all the divine blessings that's already yours, boy, the first thing you're going to have to do is repent. Repent don't mean, man, stop drinking and stop smoking and stop going out and stop doing this. That's going to be a result of it. Repent means to change the way you think, to change your thinking. What you mean? Or the case in point, most of you thinking, man, well, I'll live the best I can, man, and then when it's all said and done, man, I'll die and go to heaven. You got to change your way of thinking of that and start thinking like what? That, boy, heaven and came to me. And if you find out what Jesus preached, then you'll discover things like that. But what happened out there? We find out, boy, we knowing about the gospel of Jesus, about who he is and what he done, instead of what he preached. I say this again. I say it all the time. Boy, that's the devil's most successful tactic against us as believers. He don't mind us, man, preaching all about Jesus and everything else and talking about how Jesus opened blind eyes and all the great things that he did. Now, that's good and great and everything else, long as you don't do none of that. Long as we don't live on this earth the way he lived. As long as we don't chart our course toward that destination, what destination? The greatness of Christ, the greatness of Jesus Christ that came to display to you and I on this earth how we're supposed to live with power and authority and influence, man, and control over every circumstance, situation, and simply in our lives. Why we ain't living that way, Arthur? Because you don't know to live that way. But you know I try to live the best life you can so that you can try to get to heaven. And why you doing that, Arthur? Because you don't know that Jesus Christ came to bring heaven to you. That boy, that not only has redemption took place, not only has all your sins been taken care of, but boy, what has been taking place, the most important thing is, man, why your sins have been taken care of. See, if you're not careful, you'll just be preoccupied with that. What? That all my sins is washed in the blood of the Lamb, man. But and with that mentality, man, that give people a misunderstanding that, hey, like God is saying, hey, I'm saying you're free from all your sins, so you ain't got to worry about that, to live any kind of way. No, you're free from all your sin for a purpose. What? So that you can, so that the Holy God and the Holy Spirit can not just be among you, but be on the inside of you. Come and live in you. Come and make his abode with you. Come and tabernacle with you. What's tabernacle? To cohabitate with. To be with. To live with. Live with what? To live with us. And us live with him. For what purpose, Arthur? So that, boy, we can know who we really are. So that we can get back on course toward God's purpose and destiny for our lives. And what's that, Arthur? That we have dominion. What's that? King's dominion. Kingdom. King's dominion. What? Dominion. Dominion over what? Over all the circumstance, situation, and symptoms that we might face in our lives here on this earth. That we might begin to reign in life instead of life reigning over us. That would bring glory to God. When you get your prayers answered. When you get your needs met. When that scripture that say, I'm the Lord thy God, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, when that being manifested in our lives. Thank God for the doctors and the nurses and the hospitals and all the medical staff that's at our disposal. But there's some things, baby, that they can't do nothing with. There's some symptoms and sickness and disease that they can't cure, boy. But the Bible say, boy, all those that came to Jesus, he healed them all. But know before he healed them all, know what he was preaching to them? That healing is the children's bread. That you don't have to be sick no more. Know what he was telling the poor people, those who were poor? The good news, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know what the gospel to the poor is? You don't have to be poor no more. I'm not talking about just in finance and money and everything. I'm talking about poor in spirit. Poor in men in the knowledge of who you really are, what you really have, what you really can do. As a result of it, man, we're living like mere men and mere women. Even with our billion-dollar status, our million-dollar status, all our money that we have, everything else that we have, yet, boy, you as poor as Job's old turkey, as they say. I don't care if you had $1 trillion. If you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, boy, you poor in spirit. I don't care if you had $1 billion. If you don't know your rights and privileges as a son of the Most High God, you poor in spirit. But you know what Jesus said about that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What the good news was? You don't have to be poor no more. Come, all you who are heavy laden, and come unto me. Come, in other words, come and learn of me. You heard what Moses said and what Joshua said and what the pastor said and what you said and what Arthur said and all the representatives said. But he said, all you with heavy laden men, come unto me and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come see what I said. Like God said to man, hey, listen, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Don't just hear what Moses them said and what the prophet said about it, but he didn't came himself, boy. With his, hear what he say. You know what he said? All of the kingdom of heaven is at your disposal, is near you, is available to you. When, Arthur? Right now. What I got to do, Arthur, man, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him. So you don't know what you just know about him. You don't know about what he preached. That's why, like I said earlier, I challenge all of us, man, you know, everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, man, to go to the word of God for yourself. And go, boy, with this intent, man. Let me go find out, man, what Jesus preached. I don't want to just find out what he did and where he came from and how he hung, bled, and died. I want to find out all that. But first thing first, what I want to find out the most important is, boy, what did he preach? What was his message? His message was this, saints. All of the kingdom of heaven has arrived, is here, is among you, is within your reach. And when I finish doing what I'm doing, that's among you, that's around you, that's here, that's near, that's at your hand, it's going to be even better than that. But it's going to be on the inside of you. Right now, it's among you, just like it is right now. I don't care if you haven't entered into it or not. All of the kingdom of heaven is here now. It ain't a sweet by and by. It's here now. The lifestyle of heaven that belongs to us, our inheritance that belongs to us, the kingdom of heaven, that's here now. If you don't know that, you ain't going to try to pursue that. You're going to be trying to pursue, man, how to live, man, right, and try to stop sinning so that you can get there. But if you realize, boy, that it's already here and that it came to you, your number one priority, boy, would be righteousness and holiness, man. Listen, when you realize how righteous you are and that you are the righteousness of God, you won't be trying to stop sinning. You'll be trying to become more and more of that righteousness that you already are. And that the more of the righteousness that you become, that you already are, the less you're sin. You know what the Bible says? Awake to righteousness and sin less. In other words, the more righteous you realize that you become, and the way you do that, to realize that you are as righteous as you ever going to be, the more righteous that you become, then the less you're sin. Why, you'll be trying to live holy. Why? Because, boy, you don't want that treasure that's hid in the field. What that treasure is there? The kingdom of heaven. You know what the message that Jesus Christ come preaching to you? That's your inheritance. That's for you. It belongs to you now. Come on into it. Ain't no key. It got some keys to it, but it ain't got no, it got some keys to the doors in it, but it ain't got no key to it. It got a door to it, and the door don't have no lock on it. All you got to do is just come on in. And when you come on into the kingdom of heaven, man, tell you something. It might not seem like it. It might not appear like it. But, boy, I'm talking about everything that you ever desired, everything that you ever wanted, everything that you ever dreamed of, boy, be at your disposal. And all you have to do then is just grow on up into it. Listen, boy, this is the message that God has for you today. All of you on the sound of my voice, if you're sick in your body, you don't have to be sick no more. If you're wondering about how you're going to make it and how you're going to get your bills paid and how you're going to live, you don't have to worry about it no more. If you're brokenhearted, man, you don't have to be brokenhearted no more. If you're blinded to the truth of what God is doing, you don't have to be blinded no more. If you're steeped in religion, man, and can't get out of it, man, and without a relationship, a personal relationship, you don't have to be that way no more. All that, man, has been taken care of, and all God is asking you to do is, man, come on home. Come on into the kingdom. Don't cost you nothing. All you got to do is come to the knowledge of it and come on in. How you come on in? Father, save me. Father, let me in your kingdom. Father, let your kingdom come in my life, and let your will be done in my life, here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, thy kingdom come. Father, how can I help you establish your kingdom in this earth? How can I help you get what you're doing in this earth? How can I help you, Lord? What can I do for you, Lord? Father, what? Save me. You think if you ask God to save you, you think he'll say no? You think if you ask God to let you into his kingdom, you think he'll say no? If you ask God, Lord, what can I do for you? You think he'll say nothing? Got to get our priorities in line. Listen, my time is about up, y'all, and it's time for me to get out of here. Again, we're still in the introduction of the reestablishment of God's kingdom back up on the earth in your life. God loves you, and all of his kingdom is available to you. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. We're going to learn some things. I keep saying this at the end of each broadcast, but we ain't really got into the keys of the kingdom yet. You stay tuned. Listen, I love you, my wife, Gail, and I, and my family, we love you with the love of the Lord. And I decree to you, all of you under the sound of my voice, that the kingdom of heaven has come to you. So I decree and declare and pray that every sickness, every disease, every germ, every virus, every malfunction that touch our bodies dies instantly. I decree and declare for cancerous cells, all sickness and disease, to die and to go from your body. I speak healing to your body and salvation to your soul. In Jesus' name, so shall it be. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. We'll talk to you again next Saturday. Stay tuned. God bless you.
We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry. would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous blessing to your life. We pray and speak the blessing of God upon your life. And if we can be of further service to you, please feel free to contact us at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry.